Columbus. How you doing?
Pretty good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Where exactly are you right now? You're near the Costera.
It's in Stamerik Lace.
Okay, so you're right there. And did you guys do the jump yet?
No, we were held over in the Azores in Portugal. And then, so the day that we, because of aircraft that we were on, had some mechanical problems, so we didn't arrive until the day of the jump.
I see.
So we got here a little late, yeah.
I see. But you guys were still able to be there and experience everything.
Oh, yes, we were, yes.
Okay, what have you guys been able to do at St. Mary Eglise? Have you been able to walk the, I think this is the area where all the hedgerows and stuff is?
Yeah, this is where John Steele, PFC John Steele, was hung up on the church here as he was parachuting down. And we're right here. They have the main chapel there in the town square, and they have a statue or like a statue of John Steele hanging from the chapel with a parachute there, and it's really a good thing to see.
Even today they have that?
Yeah, it's like a permanent affixed statue that's there at the main steeple portion of the chapel, and then they go up there and they replace the parachute itself, but that's just a statue of where he hung there for 2 hours.
I see. Okay, that is really something. What kind of feeling did you get just by being there? This is your first trip being in that area, isn't it?
This is my first trip, and it's just a really powerful event, being airborne, and to come to where, like most Americans think of World War II, you think of D-Day and Pearl Harbor, and to be here to experience, one of the main historical events of World War II is just really powerful. And to the old-timers that come and were actually here, it landed on the shores and stuff, and to hear their stories, it's just, I mean, all it brings tears to your eyes just to hear of their experiences, and that they're here again so many years later, 68 years later, to tell their story.
Exactly. What has stuck out the most? I know just being in that environment answers a lot of questions, but to set foot on that ground and take a walk and look and take everything in, Just give me an idea of what it means to you to be able to do that at this stage in your career. How long you been in the military?
I've been in 14 years.
Okay.
January will be 15 years, and I really, really feel blessed to be able to come over here and experience this. Being there at Fort Benning working at the Airborne School has given me the opportunity to come over here and experience this. But it's to be out there on Omaha Beach and Utah Beach and Point de Hoc, where the Rangers climbed up and scaled the cliff there, it's just really, really powerful to see all that. Just take it in. I mean, it's just, we're kind of like on a time schedule to be at certain ceremonies and events, but you still get the opportunity to go out there and be out there for an hour or two and just take all of it in, see the monuments. And
yeah, so you've been on Omaha Beach and you've been on Utah already?
Yeah, we've been, tomorrow we leave out tomorrow to come back to Fort Benning, Columbus. So we've been to Omaha Beach, we've been to Utah Beach, Point de Hoc, where the Rangers scaled the cliff sides, and we've been to what is the name of the other beach?
Let's see.
And what was that beach that we went to today? Sword Beach. We went to Sword Beach.
Okay.
Yes.
And how were you selected to take part in this?
They were looking for names there at the Airborne School of people that were interested in going. And myself and the other two individuals that you'll talk to, we're just a couple of people that decided that we would like to go, and we were just randomly chosen. I guess we were the lucky ones to be able to come. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask, what are you going to take back with you? What do you think going to stay with you for the rest of your life more than anything?
Well, for one thing, I got picked up some sand from each of the different beaches that I'm going to bring back with me, and I'm going to make I'm going to get one of those the D-Day pictures with that sand placed in there, so you know you could always see it that way. But just, I mean, the experience itself and just being able to go back and tell everybody that you went is just something that you'll never forget.
I see. And the other question I had was, throughout all of this that you've experienced already, did you have any relatives or people who your family knew who actually were part of this invasion?
No, I didn't have both my grandfathers were in the military. One was in the Navy, one was in the Army during World War II, but neither one of them were here took part in the invasion.
I see.
Itself.
So it's kind of like a history lesson for you then, not having the opportunity to hear from other people who may have been close to you to talk about
it.
See for yourself.
Yeah, especially with the guys that were and the old-timers that were here that actually were there. You hear about history and things like that, and you read about it, but just, and, you know, let's say, for instance, you go to Gettysburg Battleground or something, you could be like, yeah, you know, something happened here, but to be able to be over here and have these guys that were actually here telling their story, just, it really makes all the difference in the world to actually be somewhere and to listen to them and,
yeah,
this is what happened, and this is what I did, and these are the experiences that I felt.
Yeah, you're a soldier. Yes, I know you're a soldier and everything, but I was just wondering, just by being there on that beach and hearing some of the stories that they've told you about how things actually unfolded there on that beach and on the cliffs and stuff, did mm-hmm. some of that stuff seem impossible to you?
It did, because things that they did then, you know, even though we have Afghanistan, I've experienced Afghanistan and Iraq, it's just, granted, it's two different times and time periods, but just the things that they went through and the hardships that they went through and what they had to deal with just seems almost impossible to what we do today or what we would think of as unheard of.
I see. And how old are you?
I'm
39. Okay,
yep.
Good. Anything that I didn't mention that you think I should mention when I talk about soldiers taking a trip to retrace the steps of the Normandy invasion?
Yeah, I just think it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, that especially here in the next couple of years when it'll be the 70th anniversary, that will be, if you haven't gone or come and experienced the Normandy or the D-Day invasion and the places to be able to be seen, it's just, it's something that it's one of those things that you have to come out, especially if you're a soldier, to have to come out and see it sometime during your life.
I see. Good. Well, Justin, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with me. And who's up next for me?
Who's next? You're going to have Staff Sergeant Hedgepath. It's going to be next.
Okay, Hedgepath. Good.
Yep.
Thank you again.
All right, sir. Yep, no problem.
Okay. Hello, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad, sir. How are you?
Good, good. And you're a Staff Sergeant at the Airborne School?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah, and I was talking to Sergeant Ogden, and he said his group did not get a chance to actually jump. Were you able to jump, or you were delayed with him, too?
I was delayed with him, too, and as well was Sergeant First Class Hill.
Okay.
None of us got to
jump. I see. But you did get a chance to be there, and that takes up for everything else, I would think.
Absolutely, sir. It's glorious. This is glorious.
Yeah. What are you going to remember most about your experience there in that area?
Honestly, sir, I got severely emotional, actually, at Omaha Beach. I had a moment at Omaha Beach, not because I had family do the landing at Omaha Beach or anything. My grandfather actually met up with the main element in Rome well after the D-Days, more closer to the Battle of the Bulge time frame. But
I see.
Just being in that location, knowing the history, just how many men, never got to see their wives, their families again after that very spot where so many souls passed, was extremely emotional for me. I actually had a moment. I sat on the wall and watched the waves come in. It was amazing.
Yeah. Out of all those beaches, of course, Utah, Seward, and all of them had some pretty horrendous situations going on. Why do you think Omaha touched you more than the others?
The specific location, and knowing that was the bloodiest of the beaches, and most souls passed through that sand of all the locations. Just I felt touched at that moment.
I see. Yes, I think Omaha was, just as you mentioned, it was one of the most difficult ones, and you got a chance to look over that landscape and look at some of those areas are still the same as they were 6 to 8 years ago. I think they are.
Yes, sir. Point du Hoc, where the Rangers scaled the cliff walls to take German gun positions, the same, almost a Volkswagen-sized craters in the ground. And having been there when the Navy was actually shelling that beachhead, it had to look like the ground was boiling. I mean, it was just crater after crater. It was like being on the surface of the moon. That's the only way. And they did nothing. The French people did to bulldoze and reflatten the ground. They left it exactly as it was. And there were bunkers for the bigger guns. Some of them were direct hit by the naval barrage. And it, just walking amongst the ruins and actually stepping into a few of the less dangerous looking ruins, got to actually take a step in there and look through probably the same portholes the Germans were looking through. If they hadn't already abandoned that post, because one of the veterans that was out there in the area when we were there said that some of the Germans were actually saying when they were watching the American Armada coming over the sea, it's a good experience. You can see for miles out to sea, and he said it was just like a wall, and if the ships looked like they were banging against each other, they were so close together, and for that much ships to just be coming in a wall formation, just coming at you. He said a lot of people abandoned their points and ran to inland where they had a better chance. And those that stayed may or may not have been vaporized by just the impact, because it was just like I said, the ground must have looked like it was boiling from
With the shelling, it sure was. And just to get an idea of all the places that you guys have been, you've been to all the beaches. You've been able to see the Point du Hoc, where the cliffs were, where the Rangers scaled, and where else have you guys been?
We did Sword. We did the Deck of Sword. That being said, we were actually participating in the ceremony there as well. I know a portion of the trip mostly. We spend a lot of time on the beaches, actually.
I see.
Just the entire experience. I mean, here at St. Mark Lee's itself is in itself beyond, above and beyond just everything I was expecting. I mean, as soon as we got here, I was immediately excited to be here.
I see. Okay. And you guys got there when?
We got here on my birthday, June 3rd.
So
we were way behind the power curve. But that was an amazing birthday present to land at Cherbourg. When the buses were taking us from Cherbourg to here, just you could see the historical significance as the bus traveled to here. And that was a great birthday present.
I see. And one thing I did not think of, did you guys get to the cemetery?
Sir, yes, we saw the cemetery. It was expansive. From the entry point, you could see downhill the way that you enter the visitor center. You can see down the hill to the beach, Utah.
Which beach is it close to, the cemetery?
I believe it was closer to the Utah side. It was probably still Omaha, but it was way closer to Utah.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that must have been something with all the names that are on there and the service that they were part of.
That's a cross. And I just learned from another friend that I met about an hour ago that the way that the grave set up is to where concrete beams, the cross, the expanse of each line of gravestones. So, and if you get an aerial view during the summertime when it's really hot, the way the concrete heats up and the way the gravestones heat up, if you get an aerial view or an aerial photo of the cemetery, you can see just how much went into. You can see the lines where the concrete was set. If you had an aerial view, it's massive.
I see.
Massive.
Okay. That is
what actually touched me at the cemetery. Honestly, what touched me most at the cemetery were the personnel who could not be identified. There was a gravestone for that person with no name on it. It just said, known only to God.
I see.
And there were several of these. And that again, I had another emotional experience at the cemetery, but not quite as significant as at the Omaha. I mean, it touched me to know that no one knew this person's identity, but clearly Americans were burying.
I see.
On the gravestone, it says known only to God.
I see. And that's just for the one unknown soldier.
No, there are several of those.
Oh, there are several of those? Okay.
And they're spread throughout the expanse of the. It's not like they're all centrally located. Nothing at the cemetery was alphabetically laid out.
I see.
But so they have letters. They have letter stones, which would guide you to think that it is alphabetically laid out. But that's just for the unknowns, I would assume. So you could, because they're most of the letterings themselves, just the letter H on a. On a little stone away from the gravestones where it would look like it was a marker for alphabetical order. And some of those were well decorated.
Okay. And before I let you go, what are you going to remember the most as you leave Europe? I guess you guys will be leaving soon. What are you going to take back with you that you know is going to stay with you for the rest of your life?
The warmth of the French people and their willingness to just be amidst us and so welcoming and so happy that we are here commemorating every year, and it seems as if they've never seen us before. They're always, every American that walks by, they greet them the exact same amount of enthusiasm as the last. That's amazing.
As if they did it 6 to 8 years ago, I guess.
For sure.
When they liberated that area. Yeah,
yes,
that's
sir.
Really
they're
something.
Extremely grateful, and even the youngest people know the significance. I walked the Airborne Museum, which is not far from where I'm at right now, and
I
the
see.
Children just wanted to shake our hands.
I see. And I just want to get a correct spelling of your last name. How do you spell that?
Hedge like a bush, H E D G E,
yeah.
And then P E T H, not H E D.
Okay. Okay. P E T H. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to make sure I didn't put a hitch death, but a hit test. Hitch test. Yes. Okay.
We're the ones who came over to the colonies. Hedge Path stayed. That's what
I see. I see. Okay. So there's some history there. Okay. Good. Good. Well, Sergeant, thank you for taking a few minutes, and I guess up next I have Sergeant Hill.
Sergeant First Class Hill. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Hang on one moment, please. It was a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello, Sergeant Hill. How's it going?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. I wanted to get an idea from you what the trip meant to you and what has touched you the most about this trip, even though you were not able to jump. And I don't know when that jump date was supposed to have been when?
I believe the second or third. I'm not really sure.
Okay, but you were a little bit late for it because you got held up.
Yeah, right.
But you guys have more than made up for any of that, I think, just by what you've experienced, wouldn't you think?
Oh, I've been waiting to come here for 13 years, and it's the first time I've been here, and it's awe-inspiring. It really is. It's amazing. People here are great. I mean, just seeing the sights of something like, I've been in the 82nd for 13 years, and just seeing some of the places that some of the regiments and battalions I fought in, that I was in before. It was great.
Yeah. You were in the 82nd Airborne?
Yep, for 13 years.
I see. And now you're at the 507th.
Roger, sir.
I see. And you've been wanting to get there all this time, and now that you're there, was it what you expected?
More, way more. I want to come back. I'm not even gone yet. I already want to come back.
I see. So that's a trip that you want to even do again. You're almost talking me into going.
Oh, I love it.
It's kind of like it.
The people here are kinda amazing.
Like
it's crazy.
I see. It's kind of like the people make a big difference over there.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because most of the houses around here have more American flags up. They're so appreciative of what our country has done for them here. It's amazing. And they don't treat us any different. It's people in Normandy. I can't even explain how great they are, especially paratroopers. It's amazing. It's just awesome.
Yeah. What does this trip do to about your ties to the paratrooper as a military person today? It makes you feel like you guys really mean a lot.
Yes. Honestly, it feels like I finally came home. This is almost like it's like a paratrooper's mecca. It's the holy grail of all drop zones. It's crazy.
I bet it is. And all these places that you guys were able to get to, you're in St. Mary Eglise right now, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
And you guys have been on the beaches, went to the cemetery. What was the most striking place to you that you can think of?
Honestly, we get to go out to the drop zone where the 82nd landed. You know, most of them did anyways. It was about the same time. Just being out there with no lights on and actually listening. You can see the lights of St. Mary Eglise off in the distance. It was, that was probably the best part for me because you're actually on the ground where they landed. Some of the monuments and stuff, they're in the general vicinity, but we're out on this cow pasture. You know, and you can actually sit, take a knee, and look around, and actually put yourself in their shoes. And it was getting all the smells of Normandy, the sounds of, you know, of course nobody's shooting at you, but you don't really. So it was amazing.
I see. And that drop zone for the 82nd was at the St. Mary Eglise, pretty much in that area. Okay.
Right. The St. Mary Eglise was the first town liberated by the Allies. It was liberated by the 505th Parachute Infantry Regiment.
I see. The first town liberated. Yes, I think that is correct. And that's where chutes got stuck in trees and buildings and stuff like that, too, isn't it?
Yep, they get stuck in even the church in the center of town.
My goodness. That must be some kind of sight. I'm sure you guys took plenty of pictures and everything.
Oh, yeah. I have no more room on my memory card, and it holds like 2,500 pictures.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
So you really took advantage of it. Okay, good. And what are you going to tell the people back here in your unit when you get back here? Or what are you going to explain to them as taken away from over there about being over there in Europe at this time?
I don't even know what I'm going to tell them. I'll probably bring a lot back to it. Bring, like, especially the students that we train at Airborne School, you know, the background more. You know, it's a lot of kids come there. They don't know much about history and where it all came from. They just think Airborne's cool.
Yeah.
But coming here and then seeing all the graves of all the paratroopers and all the of a battlefield. It just puts it more into perspective.
I see. And you can relate that over to them, that when your job counts the most, this is a good example. You can show them as this is the example of doing your job the way it should be done.
Yes, sir.
I see. Yes, and then we're talking about this 68 years later.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. Anything that I did not mention that you think should be mentioned when we talk about being able to go back to that historical battlefield area and just retrace some of the steps of the soldiers like yourself?
I think every American should come over here and see how the hospitality with the French are here at Normandy. It's almost sad to say that there's more American flag flying here than there are in Main Street, USA. It's just how
My
much they
goodness.
Actually appreciate and love us here. Everybody walks by and says, thank you. It's crazy.
I see. And how many of you all are actually over there?
There's 10 of us from the 507th.
How many?
10 from the 507th.
10 from the 507th, okay.
Yep.
And what about other armed forces?
We got of course, the French, the Germans are here, the British, the Belgians. I've seen a couple Poles. But there's also guys from Ranger Training Brigade here with us that flew over.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Ranger training from Fort Benning.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So they all in the training too, in which they do drops and stuff like that also. So
yep.
they can take a lot of that back to their trainees also.
Well, we all went out to Point de Hoc. That's where the Rangers took a scaled a cliff like 100 feet off from the shore. It's a big cliff. They scaled it and took a major objective for the V-Day landing. That place is amazing too.
Yes, it sure is. Well, Sergeant Hill, I sure appreciate you all taking a minute to talk to us about this event. And when are you guys leaving and come back?
We're leaving actually tomorrow morning, but we won't be back for a couple days.
I see. Okay. Because you guys are taking military hops and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're in a slow plane.
Yes, I know what you mean. I took a few of those when I was in the Air Force, so I'm familiar with them. But it's a good way to get to where you're going, and especially when the scenery is like that where you are today.
Yeah, especially when it's free. It's even better.
Exactly. You're right. Well, Sergeant Hill, you guys take care and have a good trip back, and we appreciate you taking a minute to talk with us.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.